Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we're continuing our studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Here's our teacher, Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University.
We have been discussing discovering and using your special spiritual empowerment from the Lord to serve in the body of Christ. This is what spiritual giftedness is. Spiritual giftedness is a practical subject. It's not just a subject for curiosity seekers or wanting to understand details in the Bible that don't matter. The whole focus is on making a contribution to the work of God. Last time we began to learn about the communication gifts, one of the two categories of gifts that believers may possess today. We derive those two categories from 1 Peter 4:11, which states, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That verse of Scripture mentions that there are some who have a special capacity to speak. There are others who have a special capacity to minister. And we understand that those are giftednesses granted from God from the verse that precedes, verse 10, which says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, having considered the communication gifts, the speaking gifts, let's consider now what I would call the ministering gifts or action gifts. The first of these is listed in Romans 12:7 and also in 1 Peter 4:11. It's the ability to oversee the monetary and temporal concerns of the church. It's the gift of ministering. Now, it's interesting. This is both a specific capacity granted from the Lord, as we find in Romans 12:7, and it also is listed in 1 Peter 4:11 as a general category. And that's why I've mentioned it first, because I don't want to confuse these two things. Certainly, there are just certain spiritual empowerments from the Lord that allow people to help others without doing it through the spoken word. This is the category of the gifts of ministering. But there also is the gift of ministering which is more specific and has to do with tending to the physical monetary concerns of the church. In fact, the term for ministering found in Romans 12:7, where the gift is specifically listed, not as a category, but specifically listed, it is the term from which we derive the present English word deacon for our office in the church. We know from Acts chapter 6 that the deacon was given responsibility for taking care of the monetary concerns of widows in the church at Jerusalem. And from that we have derived the idea that deacons are to be spiritual men who have given over to them the physical, temporal concerns of the church. And thus we believe from this that the capacity of ministry, as mentioned in Romans 12:7, is a special empowering from the Lord to attend to the needs of people in a physical, monetary way who are in the body of Christ. The second of these ministering gifts is found in Romans 12:8. This is the gift of giving. This is a superlative generosity with material possessions for God's work, shown with no thought of return or gain. Everyone is called upon as Christians to give, just as everyone is called upon to minister to the physical needs of others. But there are some people who are just granted an unusual capacity from God in this regard, to give beyond, in terms of percentage and quantity, what other people would ever consider giving, and with no thought whatsoever for what they'll get out of it or any return. It's not an investment except in spiritual terms. I know of a young couple in North Carolina. They're friends of mine. And in the course of the providence of God in their life, they have gained much financial benefit. They've gained much money. and they have grown to be equally generous with that money as they've grown with their finances. They've given above and beyond what any Christian would normally be expected to do. They have an unusual, superlative generosity. This is the gift of giving. There is a third gift as well that we would describe as an action gift, and that's the gift of ruling. It's found in Romans 12:8 and also 1 Corinthians 12:28. This is the capacity to lovingly wield authority in the church, characterized by sound judgment, vision, and decisiveness. This would be true of the men that are described in 1 Timothy 5:17, mature men in the body of Christ spiritually, who rule over its affairs and direct its affairs. That's a special capacity from the Lord. And God grants that capacity to certain men to keep the body of Christ on track, doing what it ought to do. Fourthly, there's the gift of showing mercy from Romans 12:8 as well. This is a deep concern for and readiness to help those who are in a pitiful condition physically or spiritually. I don't know if you've ever visited a rescue mission before. Ministering to the needs of people who are in a desperate condition, a pitiful condition oftentimes, socially, physically, and certainly spiritually. All of us pity people like that, but not all of us are drawn to do something for people like that. Not like the man who's drawn to direct a rescue mission or some similar kind of ministry. His heart just goes out to these people to such an extent that he wants to pour his life into their lives. And many of the cases of these people are what you could almost call terminal cases. They don't ever seem to improve much. And yet, those men just keep on ministering to them. Keep on providing food. Keep on providing shelter. Keep on providing the spiritual assistance and support that those people need. They've got a special empowering from the Lord to be that way. And they're an inspiration to us as Christians because we're all to be merciful people. We are all to be those who help others. And then fifthly, there is the gift of faith. This is in 1 Corinthians 12:9. This is the exceptional ability to trust God for a particular need. I've read stories about the famous English preacher and founder of orphanages, George Mueller. I've even seen a film about him before and always been amazed at the way he could trust God to provide food for so many children when there was no food at all in the orphanages to feed them. And how miraculously God, in the oftentimes nick of time, would provide for their needs. Now we know from Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. Again, every one of us as believers is to grow in faith. We're to have our faith increased. And according to Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We can grow in faith as we listen to the word. But I think it's true that there are just some people who God grants a capacity to trust him in cases of particularly poignant need that other people just don't have. It's a capacity that is remarkable and leaves the rest of us astounded and almost guilty, and certainly prods us along and encourages us to have greater trust in the promises of God. And then there's the gift of helping. This is found in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and is the sixth of these ministering or action gifts. I think this is the compulsion and practice of performing deeds for others in a time of need. This giftedness is almost a category in and of itself. It may manifest itself in the preparation of a meal for a family where the mother is sick. It may manifest itself in the taking care of children so a husband and wife can have some time together. It may manifest itself in simply painting some part of the church that needs a little attention, doing some cleaning around the church buildings. It may manifest itself in a multitude of ways, cooking meals on a church retreat, taking care of someone's automobile because they don't have time to take it to the garage and get it repaired, just helping where there is a need. I'm convinced this is a capacity that some people have, a kind of ability that they possess that other people just don't have to the extent they have it. They always seem to be available, they always seem to be ready, and they always seem to have a willingness to help when there is a need. You just stop and think for a moment about people in your church. whenever a general invitation goes out from your pastor for someone to do things around the church or to help someone, certain people always seem to volunteer. Now, we can credit that to their devotion, their willingness to commit their time and energies to the work of Christ. But it's not that other people aren't committing their time and energies to the work of Christ in your church. They just don't respond to those special occasions and those specific needs where there is somewhat of a crisis or a great demand. But these people always do. The thing that's remarkable to me about these permanent edifying gifts, whether they be gifts of communication or gifts of ministering, aside from the spoken word, is that often these gifts, in fact, virtually in every instance, these special empowerings given to particular believers for service in the body of Christ are also capacities that every believer is to demonstrate in his life. Now, if it's true that believers have individual special empowerings from the Lord, then how can God expect every believer to manifest all of these capacities? I mean, are we all not to be soul winners and encourage others to be? That's the gift of evangelism. Are we not all to help other Christians and lead them along and guide them? Certainly to shepherd our own families and to instruct them? That's pastor teaching. What about teaching the Word of God? Certainly we're to carry that out with people who don't know the Lord and people who do. Or encouraging others, exhorting them. We're to do that if we know there are Christians or non-Christians who are discouraged. What of helping others make right choices for the Lord, which is what wisdom is? Of course. And the gift of knowledge. Are we not to learn and increase in the knowledge of God? Yes, we all know that we are, as Christian people. Then why is it that God grants some special capacities in this way? And in all the ministering gifts as well? Giving, ruling, showing mercy, faith, helping, and ministering to the monetary needs of the church. I think it's because God is interested in inspiring Christians to reach a very high standard in these areas. And the presence of people in the congregation who are doing exceptionally well in these areas has an uplifting effect on everybody. God intends the spiritual empowering and giftedness of people to build all the members of the body of Christ up unto an holy temple and habitation for God by the Spirit.
We want to thank Mr. Steve Hankins, Professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, for today's study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Before we end today's program, I'd like to tell you about an opportunity to be academically and spiritually challenged. If that's what you know you need, then you know enough to succeed as a student at Bob Jones University. Why not take the first step on the journey to that success? Call 1-800-BJ-ME. Ask for a personal opportunity profile. Again, that number is 1-800-BJ-ME. In South Carolina, call 242-5100. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this series, so make a note of this time, Monday through Friday. The Bible Institute of the Air is a presentation of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.